Matt, welcome into our Saints game day coverage here on WWL Radio. We got you for the next 9 hours until 1 a.m. It is Saints-Panthers on Monday Night Football. Welcome on into the Acadian Windows Fans First Take.
Go ahead and check off the box.
Yes, I will. This is show number 18 of 23.
There you go.
That's what we got here. Right. Get it right out of the way. If you're keeping track, 4 preseason games, 16 regular season games. And, of course, like we called our shot, Steve.
Yeah, we did.
The preseason, we said first round bye. That means 3 postseason games, so 23 shows for us. This is number 18.
You know, if this plays out the way it could, my prediction may be correct.
What was your prediction?
New England Patriots and Saints in Super Bowl.
Could be.
However, AFC-wise, to me right now, the best AFC team is Chargers.
You know, I just was talking about this, somebody.
I will tell you this. If just because the Patriots lost last night, and they didn't look particularly patriotic the way they did, that is a very, very dangerous team. And I would never, ever, ever count number 12 out. I'm just telling you, don't ever think that somehow, some way, this time of the year that you can just sort of roll through there and the Patriots are on the, you know.
Yeah.
They find a way to win. They just find a way to get it done. They just do.
Well, there's a few quarterbacks that I would not want to see if I'm an opposing coach or offensive coordinator, and that's obviously Brady in the playoffs, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. Like, those guys just stay away. I will say about the Chargers and Chiefs, I was just talking to somebody really in-depth about this the other day. This reminds me a lot of 2013 when it's exceedingly clear that the two best teams in that conference are from the same division, Chiefs and Chargers, just like it was Seattle and San Francisco that year or 2 years there. And I think whoever wins probably that rematch in the playoffs is going to be the representative in the Super Bowl. Those two teams are just head and shoulders, in my mind, above everybody else right now in the AFC.
Pittsburgh's trying to act like they're a contender here, but they're more of a pretender. They struggle. They struggle, and I don't trust them.
They're not a complete team, right?
I don't trust them. You watch them, and they make so many good plays. We're going to see them next week, and they're going to be ready to go. I mean, this would be a big feather in their cap to come down here and put one on us. So, you know, look, they're dangerous, but nonetheless, I don't trust them. I just don't think they're complete. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll this afternoon: who would be the worst matchup for the Saints in the playoffs? Now that we know the Saints have locked up a playoff spot, 2 wins away from locking up the 1 seed. Bears, Rams, Cowboys, Seahawks, Vikings. It looks like, unless there's a major surprise here, those will be the other teams in the NFC playoffs. There's not a lot of uncertainty. It's really interesting here around the playoffs now that the Vikings won. The Seahawks just need to win one of their last 2 games. So it looks like those are the teams. So again, our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll: who would be the worst matchup for the Saints in the playoffs? Bears, Rams, Cowboys, Seahawks, Vikings. You can cast your vote at WWL.com. What do you think, Steve?
NFC wise, the toughest matchup we're going to have at this point, at this point, you've got to say Rams, but to me, the Rams in the last couple of weeks they're starting to unravel. I mean, Goff is really, to me, he's a product of McVay. And somehow, some reason, he's not able to sustain this level of performance that he had earlier in the year. And their running game without Gurley, it's non-existent. And look, who do you got to throw to? You got one guy.
Well, without Cooper Kupp, that hurt. That killed him. I said that when he went down. That's not going to be the same offense, and it hasn't been.
But you got one guy, the kid from USC. His name escapes me. Woods.
Well, because Cooks has just disappeared in these big games.
Yeah, he just
completely disappeared.
No, he's not there, and that's it. So they become this. They're beginning to get whittled down to where they really don't have as many tools as they have. And look, they're for somehow some reason that their offensive line is not. They're starting to figure out the riddle here. You know, I mean, case in point. I mean, look, I love the way that Philadelphia's defensive line plays, and have always been a big fan of Fletcher Cox. But they ate them alive last night. I mean, it was like completely. It was like, whoa. I mean, this is men amongst boys again, and that's the Rams' offensive line. So I'm thinking something's going wrong here, and all of that. But if you sort of continue to watch how they play defense over there, they're living by the blitz and dying by the blitz. And I mean, if they, man, they are.
How is that defense so bad?
Aqib Talib has the comeback that he's making. look, he's a great corner, but at the same time, I don't know if he's the elixir that's going to fix that defense. They just don't, to me, look like they're playing together at all. Look, Aaron Donald is great of a player as he is. They're starting to make him ineffective, and Sue hasn't really done anything. Fowler, the guy that they spent a lot of money on to get him, hasn't really panned out in my estimation whatsoever. He hasn't been worth what they've done. So it just looks to me like that's a team that it's going awry by the minute.
Yeah, well, 5 of the last 6 weeks, that Rams defense has given up 30-plus points. They've lost 3 of their last 6 games, including against the 2 teams they're going to be probably fighting for here to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, lost to the Bears, lost to the Saints. And what it seems like to me, if you're talking about the Rams, is that if you do not bite on the play action, their entire offense is based around play action and getting, and we talked about this, I think, last week, Steve, Jared Goff a one-read look that is open.
Look, that's all
he does not progress.
Well, and that's all he can do.
Look,
it's so simple to see. It's like we've reverted back. We've dummied down the game, or they've dummied down the game for him. And I'm not casting any dispersions on the guy's intelligence, but my whole point is, holy cow, you know, you got to sit there and wait for Sean McVay to sit there and gaze at the defense and say, hey, okay, we got a cover 2 here, we got a 3, we got a shell, you know. It looks like we got a man on. Here's what to call. I mean, come on.
You don't want to cast any disparaging remarks about his intelligence. But you got to remember, this was the guy in Hard Knocks who didn't know if the sun rose in the east or west. So that's out there, Jared Goff. I'm sorry. So I'll cast a few disparaging remarks
about
that.
That's disturbing.
Look,
I mean, so I guess maybe taking all that back. Maybe I guess. The Chicago Bears defense is playing really, really well. Their defensive front is really playing well. Their secondary is playing well. They've got some fast flow linebackers. That Roquan Smith, that young kid, is playing really, really well. And
that's who I'd be worried about, Steve.
Yeah,
Chicago.
Yeah, I think so. And look, Cohen and the other kid, the other linebacker, the running back there.
Howard.
Yeah. They can get it done. It's a pretty good tandem of guys. And Trubisky's. Kind of like this one-read guy. You know, he throws to the first guy he sees open. I mean, he goes to his first read, and if that guy's not open, he takes off. You know, he runs. He's just taking off for it. Okay, so they're getting it done by that way. But that, to me, right now, is the team right now that, to me, I guess, if going through the whole thing and kind of just sifting it out, would probably be the team that I would probably be more concerned about.
Our Oakland Heart Rolex time right now is 4 hours and 5 minutes before kickoff tonight of Carolina Panthers hosting the New Orleans Saints. We got an hour and 45 minutes more here of Fans First Take. Stick around. Coming back with your phone calls. Mike Dottillier coming up second half of the hour to give us his draft day reflections on Christian McCaffrey and Dante Jackson. You can text us at 870-870 or hop on in on the phone lines at 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve Court. This is the Acadian Windows Saints Fans First Take on WWL. Yeah, big one there. Little breeze leap, the Drew leap. I love it. I love that play.
Yeah, that's you can sort of see that one coming. And
can't stop it though, right?
No, look, he jumps like a rabbit. I mean, he can jump sort of straight up in the air, and at the same time, he's kind of got big hands, so he holds the ball. And right when he gets to the top, he knows exactly where that line is, and he sticks it out of there, breaks it, and brings it back real quick to protect the ball. It's a great play.
I like that. Jumps like a rabbit. Yeah, it's fantastic. Let's get to your phone calls here. We'll get to Carolina's weaknesses and how the Saints can expose some of those, especially Carolina's back end of their defense. But first, let's check in with Alan up in Canada. Alan, oh, Canada, what's going on north of the border?
What?
Alan, you're on. All right, Alan is he's having fun north of the border. Different time zone up there, you know. So we'll see if he wants to check back in. Let's check in with our double coverage / last lap fantasy football champion here, Brian in Mid City. What's going on, Brian? How did fantasy football go for you this week?
I'm already in the championship game for next week with a 10-point lead on Alvin Kamara and Curtis.
Very nice.
Yeah, Samuel left to play for. Carolina.
Trying to go back-to-back, Brian. That's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. Good luck, man. What you got today, dude?
Against Scott, too.
Oh, nice. All right. I can't wait for it. I'm going to get both of you on the show here this next week. What's up today, Brian?
Well, I've got a suggestion for what Cam Newton can do with that broom that he was sent by Cam Jordan. I really think he should put it to good use.
Now, remember, this is a family show, Brian. This is a family show. What do you want him to do with that broom?
I think I got a good idea what you want to do with the broom.
win or lose after the game, I think he should bring that broom out to the field and or one of his assistants and have Cam Jordan autograph it, and then he autographs it, and then auction it off for charity. You know, turn the other cheek and put it to good use.
Well, I guarantee you, Brian, Cam Newton will not be turning the other cheek, nor will he have any good sense of humor about this. That's just not something that I feel like Cam Newton is.
I don't think
he'd
bring himself to that.
No.
Nice.
I don't think so either. Brian, really appreciate the call, and we'll see exactly what Cam Newton does.
He's a bit
of
a sensitive type, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, he's
not a little bit. He's a lot of a sensitive type.
Yeah, well, anytime I see a guy that I feel is more concerned about how he looks in the post-game conference than, you know, how his team did, and then the whole towel over the face thing and really sort of the way – I have a problem with that.
All right, let's check back in with Alan. By the way, I do. I have more of a problem with his on-field stuff, his demeanor and his complaining and his general whininess.
Well, I do too. I'm pointing out that fact. I just have a problem with it all around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like he belongs in the NFL. The NBA with all that post-game attire. But I guess neither here, there, nor there. Okay, Alan, back in Canada. Let's see if Alan's there this time. Alan, what's up?
No, I'm ready. I'm in Regina, Canada.
All right.
Nice win tonight, 30-20. I think we have Cam Newton's number in the Panthers. Breeze is doing an exceptional job this year, going all the way to the Super Bowl. I went to the Super Bowl 44, and I think they got the best team ever. This is the best Saints team ever.
Well, Alan, I think a lot of people are on board with that. What do you think, Steve?
It's depth-wise, and to me, that's so crucial. I mean, there's really no weak spots. We've shored those up. You know, our secondary was at one point, I thought, sort of a weak link. And then you backed up even further than that, and you sort of think the lack of the pass rush was an issue. And look, they've fixed both of those. And look, hats off to Dennis Allen. I think he has just done a terrific job of getting those guys together and putting those guys in defensive situations and alignments that help us take advantage of who we're playing against. He does that really, really well.
Yeah, he does.
He really does.
You know, we were talking about the Rams earlier here, Steve, and this is the difference between the way the Rams have built their team right now, their roster, and the Saints have built theirs. The Rams are all L.A. hype and glamour and stars. They have those stars and future Hall of Famers and first-round picks littered throughout the roster. No depth. It's a lot of substance. Excuse me, a lot of style, not a lot of substance.
You know,
the Saints are kind of opposite here, man.
Well,
and I think that's coming back to bite
Seth,
the Rams,
you know,
a little
look,
bit.
You can have – always have, you know, your guys that are paid a lot of money. You know, okay, Chicago, they had to pay Khalil Mack a bunch of money to play, okay? No question. And look, at the same time, they still have enough young guys they didn't have to pay a ton of money to, which enables them to sort of collect a good batch of these guys that are still very talented guys, but you don't have to pay them, you know, these humongous contracts. Anytime you have to, like, bring somebody in that's, like Sue, for instance, this past season, it'd been great for us to have him, too, but he wasn't going to get the money that he got in L.A. You know, they paid him a whole lot more money, you know.
$14 million.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then they picked up Fowler, and then they gave up draft choices for him. That's going to cost him a lot of money.
Mortgage the future.
You know, so and now everything, they're kind of almost banking on the fact that if they don't win it this year, you've hamstrung yourself now, because now you've got this team that is full of these defensive guys that were at one point stars. But, you know, Ndamukong Suh was a great player at one point, but he's still a really, really functionally sound guy. I mean, he's a very serviceable defensive tackle, there's no question, but at the same time, man, I don't know if he's worth $14
million. No, he's flat out not, Steven. This is what I was arguing when the Saints were courting him. I was sitting here on our show saying, hell no. You don't want to give this guy $12 to $14 million because he's going to have a handful of sacks maybe, and that's what he has right now. He's got 3.5 sacks. He's good against the run on the interior, but you're not paying $14 million for a run-stopping defensive tackle.
Because that really is the only thing he's been able to do, and it hasn't been that good.
Sheldon Rankins has been
Sheldon Rankins is playing – you know, lights out. I mean, you stack up those other, you know, defensive tackles around the league. Linval Joseph for, you know, the Vikings to me is a better player. Certainly Fletcher Cox is a better player. Akeem Hicks to me is a better player. So there's a lot of players to me that are a whole lot better than that. But at the same time, you have to sort of be careful, you know, how you sort of mortgage your you know, your team. If in fact you're all in, look, you can be all in, but at the same time, you have to be sort of smart with what you do. And I just don't think the LA's done it.
I'm with you there. I don't think they've done it either. Here's a text from the 504. What's the weather tonight in Charlotte? And right now it's 62. Kickoff, it's supposed to be about 50 degrees, partly cloudy, no rain. Shouldn't be a problem.
Nah,
shouldn't be a problem.
No problem at all.
Yeah, it'd be a good field. Just a little side note here. The worst field I've seen in the NFL, and I think Zach was tweeting back at me, Zach Strief, on this one, was San Francisco yesterday. They had like some kind of corporate event on the field the night before and then had to resod the middle of the field like the day of the game.
What?
And people were slipping and sliding all over the place. That's a $1.3 billion stadium, and it was embarrassing, man.
And they put like Google employees or something out there.
Something like that. Yeah. You know, sounds like something you do in Santa Clara, right?
Ooh, man, that was a bad choice there.
It was embarrassing.
There's been times, look, I've never played in the stadium they're playing in now, obviously, but boy, the old Candlestick was like, you talk about rough.
Yeah.
And that's some bad.
Yeah, it was. That was the game-changing play there by Taysom Hill last week against Tampa Bay, no doubt about it. Welcome back to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Acadian Windows, official window company of the Who Dat Nation. Real quickly, a text here from 870-870 from the 949. Great point here. We're talking about that dumpster fire of a field at Levi's Stadium yesterday that was just embarrassing. The texter says and points out the San Francisco field, the field condition, the college championship game will be played there in about 3 weeks. Yeah.
Wow.
They're going to get that figured out? I don't understand how you have a $1.3 billion stadium. And
so
you got
all the way
like
over there
happening.
to where Alabama's going to play Clemson, 1,000 miles away or 2,000 miles away from both where their schools are.
Yeah, no
That's
doubt
so funny
here.
To me.
That was a good text. Good text. All right, let's bring on in Mike Dettillier like we do every week. He's going to give us his insights into the 2019 draft brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. And Mike, what's going on, buddy? How are you? Another Monday night primetime game here for the Saints.
Absolutely. You know, we keep playing all these games. We'll never see a 12 noon setup again. I got a feeling that that's going to be a rare occasion in the next couple years.
Yeah, Mikey, it seems to me like you're right. It seems to me like, I don't know. I think that maybe the nation has taken notice of the Saints and are sort of, I think the networks are too, and they're saying, hey, we got to push these back to prime time where, you know, everybody can view them because, you know, hey, we're good TV.
Yeah, I think that's it, too. And listen, they can count that money. They know about ratings. And so the Saints have given them that with Drew Brees and company. And they've been one of the hottest shows around. So you can see why, like I say, guys, I don't think we'll be doing a lot of 12 noon games.
Hey, that's fine with Steve and I. Give us a little extra.
I'm good with that.
You like extra.
I'm
no
good with that.
That's
right, Mike. You got to be up like we do, too. Yeah. That's right.
Speaking of ratings here, Mike, let's get into your draft day reflections because you had Christian McCaffrey, the outstanding running back for Carolina, rated number 3 in your running back board a couple of years ago, right in front of, by the way, Alvin Kamara. Kind of take us through what you saw from him heading into the draft and what you see from him now.
Genetics. I mean, right off the bat, you know, his dad played in the National Football League. His mom was a soccer star at Stanford. His grandfather won the silver medal in the 100-meter dash in the 1960 Olympic Games. He's got brothers, sisters, cousins that have been world-class athletes across the board. So, man, he got a genetic makeup right off the bat. Unusually, he's not a real big back. He's a little under 5'11", you know, in that 205 range. Tremendous athlete. He's got another gear out in space and different running gear, so to speak. Great field vision. Quick to hit the hole. Tremendous receiver coming out of the backfield. So he was the full package. And I just think about what he would do if he was on this Saints football team. He's really been the straw that turns the drink for Carolina. Since he's hit there as a runner and a receiver. And I think he's the key tonight. As much as we want to talk about, well, we need to get heat on Cam Newton and everything else, listen, a lot of that revolves around Christian McCaffrey. Guys, years ago, when you looked at what this Panthers offense used to be, they had Steve Smith,
yeah,
who was one of the best wideouts in the NFL. Now, I don't know if he'll go in the NFL Hall of Fame, but if he doesn't, he should be in the NFL Hall of Very Good.
Yeah.
And then the biggest pain in the Yachtabe, the Saints had to deal with, Greg Olsen at tight end. For years, he would pull up like Hall of Fame numbers against this football team. And now they're not the power running football team they used to be. Cam was such a force as a runner. Certainly with the shoulder injury, you can understand why. But they've gotten away from what won for them. And on the defensive side of football, it's been the lack of getting turnovers, which they were unbelievable at. Each and every year, they were at the top in creating turnovers. You wonder a little bit. You got a new owner. He doesn't owe Ron Rivera anything. He ain't his guy. That they may say, hey, look, you know, yeah, your success was great and fine, but Mike McCarthy got the pink slip. So it's an interesting team because you saw how quick they got out of the gates and they were able to put points on the board. They played good defense.
Yeah.
Their special teams were good. And then it has fallen apart the last 5 or 6 weeks, almost like they've sort of tuned Ron out. And
you know,
boy,
you know what
we've seen that
you know, I was mentioning, Mike? I was mentioning to Seth earlier on. You know, about 80% of their offense goes through McCaffrey in some form or fashion. Literally 80%. I mean, they're either throwing the football or handing it to him almost every play. And so, look, can you shut him down? No, you can't. Probably can't shut him down, but you can certainly limit him, and you can limit him from the big play.
Mike, before we let you go here, I want to ask about on the defensive side of the ball, and maybe awkward transition here, but I had to get this in. Dante Jackson, who we talked about so much here in this past draft, I said, hey, if he's around for the Saints, maybe in the second round, third round, you have to grab him. You had him, I believe, at number 8, and in your draft profile here, you said probably the fastest guy in the draft. Was that right? And then what do you see from him now out there at Carolina?
His transition from LSU to Carolina has been really smooth. Got just unbelievable foot speed. Now, he's not a big guy. You know, he did measure out at a little over 5'9", but, you know, 178 pounds. Man, every time I see him going up against Michael Thomas, I'm throwing the ball at Mike. Because I think he could out-physical him, and Mike is such a great shielder. Between them. And what gave Dante trouble in college? Big receivers.
Yeah.
He not being able to tackle them, not matching up well. And listen, it's the kind of law of physics. That 6'3" receiver going up against that 5'9" corner at 178 pounds, and, you know, Mike's, what, 220? Man, listen, I'm getting him the ball out short and saying, try to tackle him. That to me, is a matchup the Saints have to hit on. Dante's been a really good football player for Carolina, and he's come in and secured one of the spots as a starter. But he's not a real big guy when you're going up against that tight physicality that Thomas brings to the table.
Mike Dettillier, again, his draft day reflections brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. Mike, we'll leave it there, and we'll hear you on Countdown to Kickoff with Bobby and Christian.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You're the best,
care.
Mikey. See ya.
All right, bud.
He really is the best. If you ever talk to Mike, he does literally about 20 radio spots a week.
Can tell you that he sits right next to me on my left, and then Bobby sits right to me on the right hand of my side during the games. And, I mean, we have some conversations up there that you would be privy to that we need to put them. No, we don't.
Never, little NSFW?
Probably not put a microphone up there. I'm just thinking about it.
Well, you know, online you can do anything, so maybe we'll do it on the internet or something like that. All right, we're back after this. More of your phone calls at 504-260-1870. The legendary Jim Henderson is the Saints. That was the sack in the final play of their victory over the Panthers in last year's playoffs, and coincidentally, the final time that Jim called a Saints win. Great. I was up in the booth, and it was pretty special there.
Yeah, no.
Pretty special there.
Hey, Zach has taken over and has done a great job. I got to give it to him. He does well.
I know he's ready for this one, man. He's got a great article, by the way. Anybody who missed it, we put it up about 2-3 hours ago, WWL.com. Zach Strief's preview of this one, Saints and Panthers. You can catch that WWL.com, radio.com app. Let's go to the phone lines here. Max in LaPlace. You want to talk about some of the Carolina receivers, I believe, Max? Go ahead.
Hey, Hey, yeah, the one person, obviously McCaffrey's one of them, but Funchess, he's been kind of giving us some trouble in the past, too. And I'm just kind of worried that I think that maybe Ron Rivera is going to change some things and give the ball to those receivers and those people that you would not think normally would get them just to kind of keep us off our game. And the other two comments I just want to make right quick, I was just kind of still shocked that the Cleveland Browns have an outside chance of getting into the playoffs. That's just weird. And the other thing is, I hope this will be the last, or say one of two away games the Saints will play. And the next one needs to be in Atlanta. Y'all have a good day.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you, Max.
I agree with you. Look, I this team here, and I'm speaking of the Carolina Panthers now, it's a streaky team. There's no question, and obviously the quarterback, the way he plays, is the same way. It's not consistent, and really, you know, he has a propensity to really make bad decisions at critical times. And you look, when he's on. There's no question about it. So him throwing the ball around to different guys, and you know, you mentioned Devin Funchess, and you know, they got DJ Moore, and you know, Torrey Smith, and you know, they got some of the other guys that are out there that are able to do it. But at the same time, look, our pass rush has really gotten to where it is, we're not going to give anybody hardly any time anymore. And so Saints, I mean, not the Saints, but the Carolina's offensive line is still pretty good. They're not bad, but they're certainly, they're run of the mill. They're not one of the top anymore, and I think that's really, really going to spell some bad problems for them.
And I'm not worried about Devin Funchess, Max, and everybody out there. I actually don't think he's been a problem for the Saints here. Six games against New Orleans in his career, he's averaging 34 yards per game in those six games,
yeah,
just three touchdowns in six games. Yeah, you're not worried about Devin Funchess.
That's a blip. Yeah, that's
no doubt it. And also, Max, sorry, I believe the Browns have actually been officially eliminated from the playoffs with the wins, as they're now two games back of Baltimore. I think maybe they would have to win out and Baltimore lose that.
that's not a bad football team. When we played them, I said, look, this is a pretty good football team. They got a crummy record.
Yeah.
But this is a salty football team. And look, I do feel really good from the standpoint of in the National Football League as a whole, where it sits as far as the productivity of the younger quarterbacks, the group of them that's in there right now. We're in good hands. And Baker Mayfield is right at the top of that. I mean, this guy is, man, he is he is a gunslinger deluxe, and he is fun to watch. And look, he can make a lot of plays.
Yeah, and I was looking at the Browns thing while you were talking here, Steve. I believe they would have to have an Indianapolis and Tennessee tie in Week 17, I believe, for the Browns
weird.
To make it. Yeah, so it's something really mathematically almost impossible here. But you're right. Cleveland in the future, they're building something there.
Really
no doubt about it.
They're going to be something.
No doubt about it. All right, more of your phone calls coming back. He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is the Acadian Windows Fans First Take here on WWL. There you go, wrapping it up last week. Went over the Bucks. We'll see what happens tonight. Monday Night Football against the Panthers. Welcome back into the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Seth Dunlap, Steve Court. And back to the phone lines we go. Gregory, thanks for holding on. Gregory and Metairie, go ahead.
Hey, Seth, man. It's great to talk to you and Steve. Oh, God, boy, am I a fan. Back in the trenches, back in the dome.
All right.
I'm old enough from Hey, Seth, I'm so proud of you and how your program I'm really glad that you've taken the mantle of the nighttime show.
Hey, appreciate it, Gregory. No, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Listen, I'm very excited about the Saints, but I'm very worried about the Chicago Bears. Steve, what say you, man? I mean, if they keep winning, what's going on here? I mean...
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Bears are playing real good right now. I just don't think that they can stack up very well with their offense against our defense. And I still think that we have a better, solid, or all around team. But at the same point, look, you bring any team down here in the dome, they're going to have a problem, and they're going to have to come through here. So. If things play out the way that they're continuing to play out, that's what's going to have to happen.
Thanks, Gregory. And you can vote on our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll on that topic. Who would be the worst matchup for the Saints in the playoffs? Bears, Rams, Cowboys, Seahawks, Vikings. Interested to see how that one plays out. Got to take a quick break for news. When we come back, one more hour here of the program, getting you set for Saints-Panthers tonight on Monday Night Football. We'll talk about the Saints injury reports. No Teron Armstead today. Just how important is it to get him back, and the NFC playoff picture unfolding here. One more hour of the Acadian Windows Saints Fans First Take coming up.